In the most recent case, Natalia Estemirova, a prominent human rights lawyer and journalist in the North Caucasus, was kidnapped in Chechnya. Her body was later dumped in the neighboring Republic of Ingushetia. Russian journalist Masha Lipman of the Carnegie Moscow Center says such attacks have unfortunately become routine.
We had an assassination of a human rights lawyer earlier this year, and a young woman journalist was assassinated at the same time. Both of them were walking out from a press conference in the middle of the day in Moscow. So unfortunately, such instances are rather frequent in Russia. In most of these contract assassinations, once a journalist infringes on an important interest in business, in politics, in banking, he is taking a very high risk. People tend to settle scores with their adversaries by contracting an assassin. And many of them know that they will get away with it. It is very rare that a perpetrator is found, prosecuted, and sentenced.
Masha Lipman says many people in the human rights community blame the authorities in Chechnya for Natalia Estemirova's death.
First and foremost, he held responsible the president of Chechnya, whom the Kremlin entrusted with keeping Chechnya reasonably peaceful. North Caucasus is a very dangerous region, but people get killed in the middle of Moscow. Anna Politkovskaya, maybe the most prominent of these tragic cases, was killed right next to her apartment building.
Government leaders in the region tend to confuse the security of the state with protecting themselves from criticism, Ms. Lipman says.
They are so concerned about ridding themselves of accountability that this becomes a priority that is higher than that of security of the people, than that of an independent judiciary. No court in Russia can take a decision that would challenge the performance of the government. Perpetrators of contract assassinations can act with impunity.
Eurasian expert Paul Goebel says this attitude is pervasive in the Russian Federation and in much of the former Soviet Union.
Powerful people do not believe in freedom of the press. They believe that the press should serve those in power. And journalists who try to do their job reporting fairly, freely, and objectively about what's going on put themselves at risk of losing their jobs, losing their apartments, being beaten up, or even killed. Television, which is the most important medium, owned and controlled by the government, and it portrays journalists who get in trouble as somehow being to blame. In Ukraine, in the Baltic countries, certainly in Armenia, and to a lesser extent in Georgia, the electronic media also reports on these things.
But in the North Caucasus region of the Russian Federation, Mr. Goebel says, conditions exist for what he calls a nearly perfect storm.
You have ethnic and religious grievances and conflicts over land and power. You have a totally incompetent central government which responds to every challenge by using brute force.
Alisher Hamidov, a journalist in Kyrgyzstan, says journalists in Central Asia face similar problems.
One of the difficulties is access to information. A lot of officials, ordinary community members, distrust journalists. There have been cases in Kyrgyzstan as well as in other parts of Central Asia where journalists were targets of physical assault because what they wrote irritated some people. A lot of local media outlets, they don't pay well. So it's hard for journalists to do a good job, to travel to news sites. They need money. And so corruption is also a problem among some journalists in Kyrgyzstan.
Alisher Hamidov says it is extremely dangerous to be an independent journalist in Central Asia or an investigative journalist, whether it is reporting on elections or examining what he calls dirty politics.
There's a difference between journalists who are independent and those that are affiliated with the state agencies. There's an increasing amount of pressure on independent media outlets in Kyrgyzstan. There's no doubt this administration has backtracked on the democratization path. So we journalists feel the pressure. Journalists are using self-censorship. They're avoiding writing about these problems because they fear that doing so will expose them to various risks. Just a few days ago, a journalist was killed. He was beaten by a police officer and died a few days later of the physical wounds.
But occasionally in the former Soviet Union, governments do ultimately pursue such assassins. For example, this week in Ukraine, a former top police officer in the Interior Ministry was arrested on suspicion of organizing the grisly abduction and murder of internet journalist Georgi Gangadze in 2000. The former high-ranking official is thought to have personally strangled the victim. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.